It's about 6:02, and I welcome everybody to the Planning Commission meeting for Tuesday, February 4th, 2020. If we can have a roll call, please.
Chair Martin?
Here.
Vice Chair Shiro?
Here.
Commissioner Maravilla is absent tonight. Commissioner Montes?
Here.
And Commissioner Sage?
Here. We can all please stand and follow Commissioner Sage in the salute to the flag.
States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, the next is the agenda review. I would like to move item 9A up to the next item on the agenda, so there's no mystery as to who staff really is and who's representing what here at this time. And can I get a motion to, may I get a second? I'll make a motion. May I get a second to?
Second.
We have a, just take a voice vote on that. Change, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay, all opposed. Okay, at this point, I would like this a non-public hearing item. I'm happy to introduce Whitney McDonald as our new community development director, but I believe that Mr. Bergman, as our city manager, I defer to you for that introduction.
Well, thank you. Jim Bergman, city manager. I appreciate the opportunity to be here at your Planning Commission meeting, and a pleasure to introduce Whitney McDonald to you. She is the new community development director for the city. The next thought is I met Whitney at the county when I was working in the planning and building department there. Whitney is an incredible partner, an incredible person who gives wise counsel, even though we got to change the meaning of that word. Whitney has been involved in the common applications in planning and building, and probably one of the most challenging land use application I ever saw, which was the Phillips 66 crude by rail application in the county. And Whitney was a huge partner for the Community Development Department in putting together the review, the strategy, make sure that the community was able to vet a project like that and give everyone an opportunity to speak and to be heard, and for ultimately for the Board of Supervisors to make a decision on that. It was such a big job, and there was so much work that Whitney did with that, along with all the other projects, that I couldn't be happier that Whitney applied for this job. She sees that her values and her values of public service aligns very well with this community, and that she's here. So I won't speak for her anymore, and maybe if you want to say a few words, it's all you.
Challenge averted right there, getting the microphone to work. Thank you very much, Jim, for that kind welcome, and to all of you commissioners for welcoming me, as well as the public. I'm really happy and excited to be here. It is my first day, so it's been quite a whirlwind introduction, but yeah, I'm really excited and happy to be here and happy to see what we're going to be able to accomplish together. Really looking forward to continuing to bring people together and work collaboratively to bring solutions on all of our planning items. And I'm also really looking forward to being a part of the community here and getting to know everybody and their needs and trying to help meet them. So thank you very much. And look forward to doing some good work together. Thank you.
Welcome aboard. And on behalf of the commissioners that are sitting here and Jamie, who's not here, we're certainly looking forward to working with you on behalf of the city.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
Okay, the next item is the community comments and suggestions. This is the public comment period as an invitation to members of the community to present issues, thoughts, or suggestions on matters that are not scheduled on this agenda. comments should be limited to those matters within the jurisdiction of the Planning Commission. And as always, the Brown Act restricts the Commission from taking any formal action on matters not published on this agenda. And we do finally request that the public comment be limited to 3 minutes, if at all possible. So is there anyone in the audience tonight that would like to address the Commission at this point? Seeing none, I will close this public comment period and then ask staff, are there any additional written communications that arrived at City Hall that need to come to our attention?
No, we have not.
Very good. Thank you. Next item is 7, the consent agenda. I would like to remove items 7B and 7C. I myself have a couple of easy, quick questions and clarifications on those two items. If that's okay with the fellow commissioners to do that, and then we can just vote on the consent agenda for item 7A.
I do have a couple of questions, actually more informative rather than specific to these two items, more generalized.
Okay.
That I could use these as sort of a starting point.
Kickoff point. Questions. Very
sure.
Good.
Okay.
Do we need to have a motion to remove those from the consent agenda?
I guess I would like to know the reasoning why you're motioning.
Well, I just have a couple of questions that, you know, I don't have a problem with, you know, evaluating the extension of times. I'm just curious to know if there's been any progress made in the last year, rather than just automatically, you know, continuing and approving extension after extension. I'm just hoping, and I think if we can get just a modest update, just to see if there's any kind of progress and see if there's anything new or different that would
okay.
appropriate for us to be looking at. So,
Chair Martin, my questions are exactly along that same line.
Just to be cautious, I'm going to, can I get a motion to remove items 7B and 7C from the consent agenda? They're on the consent agenda. Normally, they wouldn't be open to any kind of questioning or conversation, deliberation. Can I have a motion?
I second that motion.
I need a motion. I wasn't making a motion.
Okay.
Yeah. Commissioner Sage will make the motion.
I will make a motion to
Mr. Shiro, your second.
7A, B, and C from the
agenda.
We have agenda.
A roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Sage?
Yes.
Vice Chair Shiro?
Yes.
Commissioner Montes?
No.
And Chair Martin?
Yes. So it passes 3-1. On the consent agenda, we have the consideration of the approval of minutes. Make a motion that we approve the minutes from the meeting of October 1st, assuming that my fellow commissioners have taken the opportunity to read and review those minutes as they've been submitted to us.
Second.
There's a motion and a second to approve. We have a roll call vote on that consent item.
Chair Martin?
Yes.
Vice Chair Shiro?
Yes.
Commissioner Montes?
Yes.
And Commissioner Sage?
Yes.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, let's move on to item 7B. Certainly for my purposes, I will introduce it. I'm not expecting to see any additional staff report, but I'll ask my question. Just a consideration of a time extension, 19008. It's a one-year extension for the vesting tentative tract map 13-002 and the planned unit development 13-002 in accordance with the Subdivision Map Act and the Arroyo Grande Municipal Code. Corbett Canyon Road, track 2985. Scott Pace is the applicant, and the representative is Tony Kosha. And the recommended action is that we adopt a resolution approving the time extension. And I have a question. I don't know whether I should address this to staff first, or maybe I ought to address it to staff first. Do we have any kind of updated information, any progress? This particular project, I know, has some challenges with the bridge there on the transition there at part of 227, so I'm curious about that specifically, but, you know, if we don't have any news, we don't have any news, but I'm just wondering if there's any kind of progress that's been made on this project.
Well, Chair Martin, I don't have specific timelines, but I know it has been a complicated process for the applicant working with the city, working with Caltrans. I think Fish and Wildlife is involved also. So it's a lot of different entities that have been together working on everyone getting their interests addressed before this map records. So the applicant might have more information for us, but that's kind of the gist of it.
Okay, thank you. Does the applicant or the representative, either one of them, like to step forward and
sure.
illuminate the status for us? Excuse me, for before you get into your presentation, I need you to come and introduce yourself. And
my name is Tony Kosher.
Very good, thank you.
As far as the bridge goes, the bridge was removed from the project by Caltrans. It's a non-conforming bridge, so instead of getting into any kind of issues with a non-conforming bridge, we shortened the expansion of the road to terminate in the curve, so that way we didn't get into having to readjust the non-conforming bridge.
Okay.
Second from that is there was still being some work on the specific utility routes on how to repower property that was across the street. So once that was determined, which happened this week, our map, our final map, was able to be finalized. So we were kind of waiting on that. All the other aspects have just been kind of standard process. The Caltrans permit has been approved, and before the city was able to start looking at the on-site plans, one of the conditions of approval was to get that permit. So that caused a delay, which then caused a delay for the utilities. But we are waiting now. I think there's only one item that's outstanding, and that's being worked on with the city staff and the city attorney regarding a maintenance agreement. So that's literally the only outstanding item for the entire project. We can pull permits now or kind of wait for the final map to be recorded and pull them together, and we can't start construction until April 15th. So we're looking to record the map and start construction almost simultaneously.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Kushel.
Sure,
before you take off, was if there may be other questions from some of the other commissioners. Any other questions at this
actually,
point?
Actually, you asked the question I was going to ask,
okay.
So thank you.
Okay.
Thank you very
much.
Very
good. Thank you very much. That certainly satisfies my curiosity on that particular item. I'm happy to make the motion to adopt a resolution approving the time extension for the vesting tenure track map 13-002 and the planned unit development 13-002.
Second.
Can we have a roll call vote, please?
Chair Martin?
Yes.
Commissioner Sage?
Yes.
Commissioner Montes?
Yes.
And Vice Chair Shiro?
Yes.
Great. Thank you very much. And then item 7C is the consideration of time extension 19-009, a one-year time extension for the tentative parcel map 15-001 and the planned unit development 15-001. In accordance with the Subdivision Map Act at 1181 Ash Street. The applicant is Tom Frank and the representative is Jeff Emmerich. We're asked to adopt a resolution approving the time extension for the tentative parcel map 15001 and the planned unit development 15001. And I have virtually the identical question. I'll direct it to you, Andrew, at this point. Do we have an update or kind of a status on where we are?
Yeah, I've recently spoken with the applicant, and they're very close to getting their final map recorded, so it's just a matter of any day now that they'll actually get that done. So it seems imminent.
Okay. So like the former project, this one, too, is making progress. It's just taking more time than everybody expected or whatever, so we're requesting an extension. So.
Exactly.
Is the applicant or their representative here tonight? Anything that they wish to add onto this? Not seeing them, I will not belabor this any further. I'm happy to make a motion here adopting a resolution approving the time extension for the tentative parcel map 15001 and the planned unit development 15001. Is there a second?
Second.
Will we have a roll call vote, please?
Chair Martin?
Yes.
Commissioner Montes?
Yes.
Commissioner Sage?
Yes.
And Vice Chair Shiro?
Yes.
Thank you. That's for item 7C. Tonight, item 8, on public hearings, we have none. And then 9A, we've already introduced our new community development director. The next item is a notice of administrative decisions since the January 21st. And there's only a single item here. Are there any questions from any of the commissioners?
Yeah, I had a question.
Go ahead.
So that was there was a height extension granted of 15 feet. What typically? What's the reason for 15, that?
I think it was 15 inches.
15. It's 15 inches.
Yeah,
right?
You said feet. I think.
Well, yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. So the height limit for detached accessory buildings in the city is 14 feet. In this instance, the applicant proposed a detached RV garage that was a touch over 15 feet, and the code allows a 10% increase in that height with a minor exception approval. In this case, staff found all the findings in the affirmative to approve that, mostly due to the topography of the site. So the closest neighbors to the south are elevated above the subject property, so any adverse impacts are not anticipated due to granting this approval.
Great. Thanks.
Thank you. We're flying through this meeting at this point. As we get near the end, commission communications, are there any correspondence or comments by any of the commissioners here tonight?
Nope.
Mr. Shiro, I have none additional. And any other staff communications?
We do, Mr. Chair. If you don't mind, on the agenda we have, I'm going to say a few words, but we also brought Bill Robeson here, who is the Public Works Director, and we wanted to try to get some information out to the public on what is happening on Oak Park at El Camino. We have some signs out there. We have it posted on our website, but we also want to try to use every means available to give everyone an update and some idea of that. We have a whole bunch of stormwater equipment and facilities that we have underground that helps our city out. We all own it, and we're having a little bit of trouble with one right now. And Bill will give you some insight to that and try to give you a timeline of when normal will be back on Oak Park.
Very good. Thank you. Mr. Roberson, the floor is yours.
Yes, thank you. I'm going to have to take you back to maybe the 1950s when we had no screens and you have to verbally describe everything. I'm Bill Robeson. I'm your Public Works Director, and I'm very happy that I'm no longer your acting Community Development Director. And it's not because of any main reason, but I'm really happy to have Whitney on board. She's going to do an excellent job. So let's see. Back on January 14th, we came to the City Council because we were having an emergency situation over at the corner of Oak Park Boulevard and El Camino. And the reason we went to the Council for that emergency resolution is so that we could get a contractor on board to sole source that contract and get them working as quickly as possible, and we did that. The Council approved that. And we're going to need to go to the council again every council meeting to update them on the emergency situation until that emergency situation is terminated. So we'll be giving them updates, but as City Manager Bergman said, we'd like to give you an update as well. So I'm going to ask you to kind of picture things in your mind. So going back over to Oak Park Boulevard and El Camino, the indication or the original indication of a problem was the flooding right in front of the DeChance property on El Camino. I know that that's a big corner, but the building in front is, as it faces that elevation, there's a big depression in the road. We have a DI there, a drainage inlet, and that drainage inlet was backing up with 30,000, 40,000 gallons of water. And we needed to pump that because the cars were needing to go into the opposite lane to get through that, or they would have to go through a couple feet of water, which is not ideal, obviously. So after we cleared the water, we put a camera down that DI. We were able to make it almost to the manhole, which is close to the corner of Oak Park Boulevard and El Camino. We couldn't get through. And we could see that there was debris, and it was mainly an epoxy failure, point failure in that line. So obviously you can't get through that. And then we were able to go on the back side and come back in, and there was a bunch of debris on the other side of that pipe. And as we looked in that manhole to come through, the manhole is kind of a confluence of pipe, of storm drain pipes. It's from Chilton. It's from El Camino, and then at the bottom, about 30 feet down, there's a main pipe that goes, it takes all that water and is supposed to take that water into a big box culvert that Caltrans owns, and then that releases out into Meadow Creek, if you can picture that. As we looked in that manhole, we saw that the top of the manhole, about 3 feet, was disintegrated. And then as our staff was in there, as one of our crew members was in there, he could see that there was also a large void that was open surrounding that manhole. So that's pretty scary. Then we noticed disintegration further down the pipe. It's a really strange manhole. It's not something we would rebuild again. So we have epoxy in the middle. We have kind of a concrete, reinforced concrete section, which is only about 3 feet. And then the rest is corrugated metal pipe. So we found disintegration throughout that manhole setup. And then we could see the subsequent void around that. It's about a 13-foot diameter void, and luckily most of it is going away from the roadway, but there is still a few feet that goes under the asphalt on Oak Park. So that was absolutely an emergency. We did not want anything to fall in that, obviously, and we wanted to fix that. So we proceeded to do that. Part of the fix was trying to get the main pipe that's at the bottom of that manhole, and actually we call them maintenance holes now. We're going with gender-neutral titles for everything. That's the way it should be. We tried to clear that. There was about 100 cubic yards of debris down in that box culvert, which we cleared out. But that didn't really fix the problem. It did allow some drainage, but the disintegration of the manhole was becoming the main safety issue. So today, CalPortland cleaned that hole out. We kind of caved it in on the private side, caved in the sidewalk. It's about 20 feet deep, 22 feet deep, and we've taken that manhole out, and we're going to be compacting the soil back in tomorrow. So then the question is, where does all that other stuff go, right? We're going to need to fill and abandon the El Camino line that goes into that intersection. We're going to have to fill and abandon a portion of the line that goes from Chilton, which is a higher elevation. And then we're going to have to fill and abandon the main line that goes to the box culvert. So what we're hoping to do is work with Caltrans. We've been in contact with them. They have a drainage system down at the toe of the slope on 101, just below El Camino. We would really see a really huge advantage, just time-wise, budget-wise, and just ease of the project, safety that comes along with that, to tie into that culvert system that they have. And they have an 18-inch pipe down at the bottom of the toe of the slope. We are proposing to go across El Camino with an 8-inch pipe, go down that slope, all underground, and then tie into their drainage inlet, and then hopefully that works. The thing that we're trying to do right now is do a hydraulic calculation with the volumes of water that come all throughout there, which there's a lot. But we're hoping that volume of water can be taken into their 18-inch pipe at a 2% slope and then go maybe 75 feet or so, and then it outfalls into that large box culvert. So if we can do that, it'll save us probably $300,000+ and a lot of time. If we had to rebuild that the manhole, we'd have to do a 45-foot diameter hole with some really significant shoring, and so we're trying to stay away from that. And again, we're working with Caltrans, and they're helping us out at this point and being very cooperative, and we're just going to give them that information as soon as we can, and we'll get some answers back probably within the next week or so.
Very good. Thank you very much.
I just wanted to add a couple things, if I can.
Is that okay, please, sir? No.
One, I just thank you for letting us share that information with the community. We're very thankful to Caltrans. This is all about partnerships. We're all trying to serve the same people here. we're coming with a creative idea to them. We want to respect their assets. We know that they have their own issues they have to deal with and their own responsibilities. But this is something where if we could avoid digging out all of Oak Park, I think the pain for the community will be greatly reduced, and we really appreciate them at that point. I just had a couple of things where I just wanted to thank your commission for your patience since October. You know, we've been recreating the community development team here, especially the leadership at the top. We've had, you know, during the holidays, things slow down, and we had an unprecedented number of meetings that there were no projects that were just ripe and ready to go to your commission. Also, a thanks to the community because they notice that and they care about their community and they want to make sure that they're informed. So any lack of communication is on me, and I apologize for that. And we're all about trying to get this community staying great. One thing that we talked about at the council recently was we had a representative survey of people in our community, and 92% of the people rated the quality of life in Arroyo Grande as great or good. Good or great. 92%. And that shows what you do up here and what community members do as individuals. During this, you know, since October, I have to give huge thank yous and appreciations, not only to your commission, but to Patrick and Andrew here, who showed so much dedication to this community, and the ability to keep that department moving it shows that they are dedicated public servants, and I think they're the future, and we got good people here. And lastly, I got to thank Bill Robeson. The pressures to run a single department is enough, but to be able to be there to support staff in two departments during this time was a huge effort, and I can't thank Bill enough for his service of stepping up and doing that and helping us get through this point. 2020, I know people talk about it's the year of vision and clarity, and I think that's no different for Arroyo Grande. Right now, the council is working and giving direction to staff on a strategic plan. Things that have been talked about in that strategic plan are generally all things that are going to come here to this commission at one point or another, so that we can get your feedback, we can get information and ideas and thoughts of the public. Things that are being talked about is economic development, head of household jobs, achievable housing, preparing our community better for, you know, if there's some sort of unfortunate event that happens. So, so happy to be working for a council that is really putting out a vision, and just a little bit more patience, and we'll pull all that out, and I'm sure the direction from the council is going to be okay. These are some ideas, and please go vet them with the community, see what they think, see if they buy into this, and I can see this planning commission is going to be a very important role in that. So I appreciate the time to let me ramble on. We're here for you, and again, we appreciate your understanding and the community's understanding in the last couple of months.
Very good. Thank you. Best of luck in dealing with Caltrans, and it may be a bit unusual, but if it'd be okay, I'd like to open up for the public if they may have some questions. It'd be a good Absolutely. Opportunity for you to, you may not be able to answer them, but at least, you know, we've got some people, members of the community here, sure. As well as just kind of keep up to date on this particular issue. So if there's anyone in the audience here tonight that would like to come forward and ask Mr. Roberson about this maintenance project that we're dealing with right now, now, here's your opportunity. We are not. We're pretty much through the agenda at this point.
So there's no public comment on item 10?
I suppose we can go back and...
You've never asked, so...
I didn't ask. It's not something that's just an administrative decision.
I can't possibly think that aren't on the agenda.
in the interest of an opportunity, I'm happy to do that. Is there anybody who's interested in speaking or asking or posing a question dealing with the maintenance issue that we have on Oak Park?
I have a question.
Fire away.
Okay. So obviously aging infrastructure is something that the entire country is seeing. So can you give us an idea of how old that manhole and the line was that failed, or lines?
They're difficult to put an age to, but the repair, there was an epoxy repair in the El Camino line that I mentioned failing, and that was done approximately 20 years ago. The manhole, it looks like it may have been done in conjunction with some Caltrans work with the overpass and the work that was done to make that intersection work. So it's probably in the 35-year range.
Okay. Thank you. I just think that's important for the community to know, because
it's a great question.
We're going to start seeing more of these, and it's really
absolutely
nothing that we can control right now.
Right.
Just have to maintain it, repair.
Yeah, we would love to be more proactive on these type of things. We do have a lining project where we go and we video pipes or storm drain pipes that are on the older side, check to see what their integrity is, and then we make a decision on whether we can spend money to re-line those, to put a liner inside those. But it's a very small linear percentage of our entire system. So, so we would love to be able to do that more, but at this point in our budget situation, it only allows us to do a small percentage.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. In deference to your request, item 10 typically is not a public hearing type of item. We're fortunate tonight to, I think, have adequate time. We've had a fairly quick and short agenda. Hopefully I'm not creating a precedent that every single time we have administrative decisions, they're going to be required to come into a public, include a public comment. There are other remedies for people that have questions in dealing with the city. You're here tonight. We have time tonight. If you'd like to speak, I'm welcome to invite you to do that.
Within 3 minutes, of course. My name is April. I'm a Five Cities resident, and I'm trying to understand better this pre-approval that doesn't go through the planning commission, etc. So I'm used to agendas where every item there's an opportunity for the public to speak. So I apologize. I didn't know there wasn't going to be an opportunity not to speak. It's on the agenda. So my question, having learned more, is that it's my understanding that once it's approved, these items are approved by the city or inside the city, that it starts a 10-day clock of appeal, because these were automatic. They never went before you to discuss or bring out in the open. So the only time the public, if they're not within 300 feet, or even that sometimes, the only time we even know about it is if it hits this agenda. So I don't know what other opportunity you guys think there is to speak to this, but to me this was the opportunity, because it's the only time the public sees it. So with that in mind, I'm not understanding why on the clickable link to that item, I don't know if you have it in front of you, but I do, if my PDF will open, Mr. Robeson put wording on there that says if you have any questions to bring it to his attention by February 5th. And I don't understand what that date is generated from, because I received from Mr. Perez an email that tells me the 10-day clock started on the 31st when it was approved. So the public really has until, like, the, I think he told me the 11th in order to appeal this. So I'm confused with this mixed message, or maybe in general the commission can explain to me why there's a date of the 5th on Mr. Robeson's supplemental report, but the city staff are telling me that we have until the 11th to appeal. How does the public get informed. If we can't talk to you when it's on an agenda, the city is giving me two different dates. It's very confusing, and I'm asking for some clarification. And if you don't know tonight, could you come back at the next meeting and provide some clarification, or ask them tonight since I'm sitting here and you were so nice to afford me this opportunity to ask. I appreciate it.
Thank you, April, very much. I'm going to defer to staff. Is there a, I'm going to say, quick and easy or a reasonable response we can make tonight? And if there is additional information, as staff, I agree with the speaker that I think it is important. There's an awful lot of stuff that is in decisions made within the city that we don't see as a commission. Some of these we see as an action item for us, and some we see as just as notices. But I think that this, here's an opportunity just to help educate the community a little bit.
Sure, Chair Martin. So in response to the applicant's question about the different dates, the 5th is basically a notice to the commissioners, the commission itself, if you have a problem or a concern, to notify staff. That's not necessarily the end of the appeal period. That's just so we can get that on the next agenda. That's primarily why that date is there. The 10-day, in this case, the 10-day appeal period did expire or does expire on February 11th. So that's where the discrepancy comes from.
But on a typical, I'm going to say hypothetical item, you know, I want to put increase the height of the garage on my house from 14 feet to 15 feet. And I come into the city and I make an application and it's a minor exception of some kind. There's no, I'm not really breaking or changing any rules, but it's an opportunity for just, you know, an administrative decision. Is that published appropriately? And so if my next door neighbor says, over my dead body, is Mr. Martin going to get his 1 foot height increase, that there is a public mechanism where this kind of decision is shared so people in the public do have an opportunity to review that?
Yes, there is. So for certain minor use permit applications, for vacation rentals, minor exceptions, viewshed reviews. So some of these applications that have the potential to adversely impact the neighborhood or adjacent neighbors, a postcard sent out to property owners within 300 feet of the subject property, and that's how they're notified. And that gives the neighborhood a description of the application, the appeal period, deadlines, and then a way to contact staff should they have questions or concerns.
And then it's also safe to assume that even though a lot of people may not take advantage of it, but is this item also posted in the little display case that's outside City Hall? So people have an opportunity to at least go by and say, hey, here's an administrative decision that's been made, and I've got 4 days left or whatever in order to respond.
It's something we're discussing internally. Generally, it's published on these public planning commission agendas. However, in the case this past couple months, we've had canceled meetings. Generally, just the commissioners are getting those notices. So it's something we're looking into, and in a way to be more transparent, we'll probably see some changes here in the near future.
Very good.
I'd like to ask a question about the emails that we received. I have not. But would it be all right if I shared that information with my neighbors and friends, or is that strictly for commissioners' knowledge?
Yeah, that would be public record. So,
public
record.
So I could
feel
share
free
that.
To
okay.
Share.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, I'll accept that. And it sounds like there may be even some other pending issues or things that are going to be continued to be reviewed. I encourage April and anyone else that's in the TV land that's watching our presentation, our meeting here tonight, if they do have questions, certainly approach the planning staff, our new community development director, or talk to Andrew.
Chair Martin, I do have a couple of questions.
Sure. Okay, but let me just finish my comment, and I'll let you go do that.
You go right ahead. But,
anyway, I encourage people to go and get engaged and come to City Hall and ask those questions and get clarification, because that's really it is our goal, and that's our intent. So thank you. So, okay. Mr. Sage, you have
a couple of questions regarding the process. And as we go through and you, on administrative items in particular, you approve those, and then on a given date, does the date that you approve those, does that become the start date does the start date begin when the notification is posted so that the public can see it?
The clock on the 10-day appeal period begins on the day the application was approved by the director.
Okay, so when we don't have a meeting, as we've gone through a series of those, the only notification then would be that which is posted on our website. So it would be up to the public to look through the website where it's boldly telling us that it's a canceled meeting, and yet we have that viable information that the public might want to have access to. Do we have any other alternatives as far as being able to provide information to the public to make them aware that a decision's been made?
At this time, there aren't any other mechanisms to notify the public. Perhaps City Manager Bergman could weigh in on some ideas.
Well, I guess I can't get away from planning. I guess I'd talk more about the big picture, too, is the council's really setting policy on trying to be transparent with everyone. When you look at something like minor use permits and the power that they give to staff to make decisions is very limited, and it's generally questions are going to be asked of us that are very small, like a 10% variation in height. These are things that I think the council's trying to recognize that these are small things. We're trying to make sure that the people have adequate information about what's going on, but then also to realize about their scale and the potential impact it may have on a community is very small. So we're all about looking at our systems. That process was invented about 12 years ago, and it looks like it's about time for us to look at it again. Yeah. And make sure that our goals and our values of being transparent and making sure decisions are out there are taken care of in an adequate way. And we will take all of these things, whether it's posting outside City Hall, making sure it's in a prominent location in our website, making sure that they're here. So that's the process that we're going to be going through, and we're going to make sure that we live up to our commitments to the community.
I do have one other question related to the 300 feet issue. I think we addressed that issue regarding the homestays, didn't we, this last year? And the concern that I had then, as the same one I have now, is that 300 feet seems to have been interpreted as 300 feet on the same street. And the issue and discussions that we had last year were more oriented towards the T intersections, where you're well within 300 feet, but you're not on the same street, so you didn't get a notification. And I think we had discussions about 300 feet behind the home on another street. And so I don't know, and I think we came up with some kind of a vote on what we recommended on that. I don't know if anything happened to that.
I don't recall a vote. My understanding is that it's 300 feet from the perimeter of the property in all directions. So
that's
I don't recall it being limited to if I live on Main Street, only Main Street residents are notified. Then Second Street behind me would also be notified. So,
So what Commissioner Sage was referring to was how we determine the buffer between vacation rentals. Okay. That was not the noticing.
Okay.
The noticing is 300-foot radius from the exterior boundaries of the property in every direction.
Right. Okay.
So that was just with regards to buffer between.
So there's a difference in just the definition of notification area on an exceptional item that's going to be reviewed, and if there's more than one vacation rental being allowed on a street. So I may live on Main Street, and I am allowed to have a vacation rental. Person immediately behind me lives on Second Street. They're allowed because there's a different street address. Is that accurate?
That's correct. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. That's all my questions.
Very good. I think we've made it through the agenda tonight. Thank you very much for people coming and sitting through the meeting and participating. Thanks to staff. And one last welcome to Ms. McDonald. And it'll always be a lively meeting, no matter how short or long it may be. Thank you very much. This meeting is adjourned. Good evening, everybody.